And the gospel comes to us from John, from the 15th chapter. Jesus said, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. You may be seated. You pray with me. Holy God, you have a word for us today, a word of comfort and a word of challenge, a word of hope and a word of guidance for our lives. Make our hearts soft and plant your word in us, that it may bear fruit through our lives. Amen. All right, friends, here's the big question. How many of you are dog people? Any dog people in here? All right. And the last service, just like Verinia was in the back waving very enthusiastically. She's still doing it. I love it. Now, the other question, how many of you are, you think I'm going to say cat people, don't you? But I'm not. How many of you are lizard people? Anybody have lizards or reptile pets at home? Okay, all right. Well, I was thinking, as we continue on in our sermon series, A God First Life, today we focus on community, and I was thinking about how our pets are part of our families and how they react when they're away from their community. So what I have here is a video of our dog, Benny. This is what he does when we come home after being away for the day. Ready? Here we go. And wait for it. Spin. That's literally every day. So that's how a dog responds, at least our dog. And then I have some good friends who have a pet lizard, and I said, well, how does your lizard greet you when you get home? And so this is the video they sent me. And scene. What does this have to do with Jesus? Well, you know, friends, we're not lizard people. We are more like dogs, right? Like, God has created us for relationships, for community, to be in family on mission together. That's how God made us. And as we continue on with this series of God First Life, we talk about community because from the very beginning of the church, a central mark of what it meant to be church was the Christian community. The people who followed Jesus were known as being this deeply loving, deeply connected community of people who lived in such a dramatically different way that the world outside looked in and saw something, took notice. And so today we talk about what it means to live in joyful community with one another. And now we can find a sense of community. We can find community in other places, right? Beyond the church, beyond faith. But the question today then would be this: what is different? What makes Christian community different? And so I want to start by looking closely at what the community was in the early church, right? When Jesus called those disciples, he said, follow me, right? He invited them to follow him, and they did. They literally left their jobs and their homes and their extended families, and they began traveling around everywhere with Jesus. They ate together. They traveled together. They did everything together. Now, notice Jesus didn't just invite them to come with him once to the synagogue on a Saturday, right? He didn't invite them to come to a scroll study the third Tuesday of every month at the local winery, if you have time. No, he invited them to this life together, living this way of life. And what the Gospels really don't expand on, you use your imagination a little bit, they don't expand on these in-between moments they must have had, right? They're going place to place. I just can imagine them laughing together every day, sharing their hopes and their dreams and their hearts and their experiences. If I really picture this in my mind as they go from village to village, town to town, can't you just see some of the disciples playing with the kids in the street as they enter in? And maybe at night they sit around the fire beneath the stars, sharing stories. It's this beautiful picture of this embodiment of hope and joy, love and peace, this picture of the kingdom of God. And then you think about what did it look like, the community in the early church, as this grew beyond just these 12 disciples with Jesus after he ascended, what did that community look like as Christianity began to spread like wildfire? And that's what we heard in Acts this morning. It said they devoted themselves to fellowship and prayer. They spent time together in the temple and in their homes sharing meals, and they shared their resources so no one in the community, in the faith community, had to go in need. And there's really kind of three categories here you could break this down into. The first would be the wonders and signs that we see, the prayer and the worship. They're growing spiritually together, doing ministry every day. And then the next category, you see they have fellowship together. They're breaking bread together in their homes. They have these real relationships. And then the third thing is they shared their resources as needs came up for people. They cared deeply for one another, carried one another. And the fruit of this kind of different way of living was that they had glad and generous hearts, it said. And I hear that as joy. And they had the goodwill of all people around them. And through that, the Lord was adding to their number every day. It's this beautiful picture. You see, when Christian community is spirit-led, when it's functioning at its most vibrant and fullest form, it is the most beautiful thing in the world. And when people outside look in and see that, they say, "What is going on? Can I have a part of that?" I love what the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer says about life together. He says this: Christian community is not an ideal, but a divine reality. It's something miraculous that God is creating. And so if that's Christian community, then we think about what is different about community out in the world apart from the faith community, because we can find that sense of community and belonging in other places, right? And in some ways, I think that we should, right? I hope that we do. We're called to engage with the world around us, to love and care for our neighbors, to build those relationships. But at the same time, as we think about this today, I want to think about how some community in the world can be good and healthy, but then other parts of community can be toxic or unhealthy. And so when we think about worldly community, when I'm thinking about those relationships outside the church, I think of it in two buckets, really: the healthy, life-giving form, and then the toxic or negative form. And we'll think about both of those today. So first, think about healthy community out in the world beyond the church. Where do you find that? For us, in our family, we have three kids, so our season in life means that we find a lot of that around our kids' classmates and friends. We meet other parents at school activities or this activity, right? And some of these folks just become acquaintances. We're friendly. We know each other by name. But others have become really deep, close friendships in our lives. And for you, maybe it's some coworkers, or maybe it's the people you play pickleball with at the gym, whatever it is. But when I stop and really think about these relationships apart from my life of faith, the best of these relationships, as wonderful as it is, there are still some big differences between that and what I find in my relationships in Christian community. And I find that if that's all I had, I would still have this yearning in my soul for something deeper. Some of those distinctions I think are helpful to think about are these. First, when I think about relationships in the world, often what brings us together is similarity, right? So those relationships, similarity draws us together. But in the church, Jesus often brings different people together. We see that as he calls the disciples, right? So they can learn and grow together. In the world, often those relationships that, at least that I have, are really around agreement. We have agreement about a lot of things, especially in the world today. I find that like 98% of the kind of social or political or ideological or whatever illogical perspectives, I find that I'm in agreement with most of those people in those friendships out in the world. But here's the thing, when it comes to Christian community, Jesus loves to throw me into the mix with people that I might disagree with or very different personalities. Anybody else ever found that? It's over and over in my life that's been the case. I'm like, God, maybe could I just be like easy and everybody gets along, and then Jesus laughs at me and thrusts me into some new relationship that's challenging. Why would God do this? So we can learn from one another, so we can grow together, learn to love and listen, so we can learn to let go of our own egos and pride and develop those characteristics of God like humility and empathy and compassion. Let Jesus be Lord of our lives. And the last thing that I think is different, is distinct, is relationships that I have outside the church are often very convenient, right? It revolves around we have the same schedule or we're in the same circles, but the relationships in Christian community that I found that have been the most meaningful and transformational for me have been ones that aren't convenient, but we've decided that they mattered enough that we invested in them and made them a priority in our lives. You know, I experienced this with our small group that our family's in. All of us have kids in middle school and high school, and none of us have time for anything extra, but each month we make time to meet because we know it's so important. And so to be clear, this type of healthy community out in the world is good, and we should be in relationships with our neighbors, right? Investing in people. But I think this helps us to see that even in the best of those situations, there's still something unique and different about the Christian community that God creates around us. And then the kind of third thing to think about today is this. There's that unhealthy, toxic community that is becoming very prevalent in the world today, right? This is what worries me most, because there are some places where there are people who are just starved for a sense of community and belonging, that they'll seek it out anywhere, and they get sucked into these toxic spaces, places that maybe project the illusion of love, but really are hiding behind this veil of hurt or manipulation. You know, sometimes what bonds people together quickly and easily is a shared sense of grievance about something. So we find others who affirm our anger or our fear, and then we end up feeding off each other, creating this ongoing loop that just amplifies that negativity in our lives. And with the onset of the internet, it's all too easy to find these spaces today. And this kind of false community, it can be addictive because it quickly sucks people in, and it might feel good at first, but then we quickly find it's always conditional and it always comes at a cost. You know, I know a person who got so caught up in this sort of false online world community so deeply that they lost several jobs and lost significant relationships in their lives. I saw another person who got so absorbed into this sort of anger-fueled conspiracy theory stuff online that hide in those secret corners of the internet that their real-life relationships were destroyed through this. Because of the person they were becoming, they could no longer have a normal conversation, even with some of their family members. And it makes you wonder, why would anyone be so desperate to belong that they would get sucked into such unhealthy, toxic situations? And the answer is loneliness. When we take a good, hard look at the state of community and connectedness in our world today, we quickly discover that we are less connected than ever. And things like depression and anxiety are soaring up and up. And while there's certainly a physiological cause for some of these things, there are also external factors that can play a huge role in our lives in this way. And I love this book by Johann Hari called Lost Connections. Johann Hari explores his own journey with depression, clinical depression, but also he explores how changes in our society and the way we are more and more lonely affect all of us. One of the things he writes hit me really hard. He says this, social scientists have been asking U.S. citizens a question for many years. How many confidants do you have? What they wanted to know was, how many people could you turn to in a crisis or to celebrate when something really good happens? And when they started doing this study several decades ago, he says, the average number of close friends that an American had was 3. But by 2004, the most common answer was 0. None. That was 20 years ago. The most common answer if people asked, how many really close friends do you have, is 0. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ today is not just about saving people's souls from hell when they die. The gospel of Jesus today is about saving people's lives from going through this life, from going through the hell of going through this life alone. My friends, God has given us here at Good Shepherd this incredible gift of community. We have right here the thing that the world desperately needs, that people are starving for, real relationships, joyful community. And ultimately, I think the biggest difference between community that we can find out in the world and true Christian community is not what it is, but who it is that creates it, Jesus Christ. It's just like Paul tells us in Romans 15, that we are to welcome one another therefore, just as Christ has welcomed us. It's a Christian community, is a community where there is this Christ-like welcome, where there's this boundless welcome that creates space for anyone and everyone at the table. It's a joyful community, and that doesn't mean that we're always happy all the time, but there's this joy that runs deeper, that is rooted in God, that can never be stolen or taken away. It's a truthful community because we know that we're always humbled by grace. We're always being reconciled to God and to one another. It's a transformational community because the Holy Spirit is always working in us, always renewing us. And it's finally a missional community because we don't exist just for ourselves, but for the sake of one another and for the world. Friends, God has given us this great gift. What will we do with it? And if you're sitting here today or watching us online and you're thinking, that sounds good, Pastor, but I don't feel that connection here. I mean, I just come to worship and go home. Then I invite you, I challenge you to get connected. Come find me, come find one of the other staff and let us help you connect to a Bible study or a small group or some kind of ministry area where you can really develop those deeper relationships that like you can't find anywhere else. And the question I want us all to think about this week is this: how can we, Good Shepherd, how can we invite more people into this joyful community, into this life together, until every person knows that they are deeply loved, so that no one would ever have to feel like they need to go through this life alone? Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for the relationships you bless us with in our lives, for gathering us together from different backgrounds and places and perspectives to create something beautiful and wonderful and true, a life together in Christian community. God, help us to continue to expand this family of faith. Help us to continue to welcome new people in, to connect more deeply those that are here. Help us to connect with one another, because it's only through you that we can truly become the people you've created us to be. And it's only through you that we can truly see each other as you see us. Amen.